Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a championship week around here, and this guy and I usually get together to talk a lot of football. We're going to talk some market here as well and rates and things like that. Leonard Raskin. It's our friend from Raskin Global and finances and money and all of that. And Leonard, look, we sat around all weekend watching football, watching some of the greatest games,
wow.
One of the great weekends of all time for football
for
and
sure.
All of that. And then you wake up on Monday morning and the market takes a turn and you and I go from talking football to talking market. We'll talk football in a minute. It was wonderful and all that. But I know that this has been a strange week for the market and the war saber rattling going on over in Europe and different things, markets, interest rates and the feds and all of that. We'll get to football, but how are you holding up? It's I'm sure your phone rings with people concerned.
Phone rings.
When you handle phone money rings. For people, right? That's the way it works.
Absolutely. So here's what I'll tell you. Our phone rings very little, and I'm very happy about that. And the reason it rings very little is because what we profess to people is that what happens today, this week, this month, even this year is wholly less important than what happens over 10 or 20 years. Now, when it really matters is if you're retired, if you're taking money out of the account. Downturns in the market are dramatic, painful, and can destroy your future. You know, the data says more people, this is a crazy analogy to money, but follow me here. More people die coming down the climb on Mount Everest than do going up.
Okay, right. Okay.
So on your way up, you got your oxygen, you got your focus, you're getting up the mountain, and away you go. Coming down,
you think it's going to be
your focus
easy.
Might slip. You think it's a little easier. Your oxygen's not all there, and more people die coming down than going up. And it's tragic either way. But with money, when the market goes down and you're saving for the future, that's great. I buy more shares. They're on sale. I'm putting more money in. I got a great buying opportunity. I'm not using this money for 1, 3, 10, 20 years. It annoys you. But if you think about it, it's a great time to buy. But if you're using your money, if you're a retiree and you sell in a down market, you can death spiral out your wealth because you have to sell more shares to generate the same dollar distributions. So you got to be really careful about down markets in a distribution phase and plan your wealth accordingly. But today, I just want to focus on one little item. So I'm going to share my screen here. I just want to show you this one picture. Got that up there?
Oh, historical perspective, S&P 500 index example. For those listening on the radio, I'll talk it through. How about that?
Yeah, so here's a history of the S&P 500. And what I want to point out is that the all-time high of the S&P 500 hit on 12/15. So, you know, month and change ago at 4,709.
All-time high.
Right. And if you've been watching the news the last week, the last couple weeks, this year to date, and certainly today, we're seeing what the pundits will tell you and the news will tell you is the market is plummeting. Now, if I were to tell you that you were on the 10th floor of a building, an office building that's 30 floors, and you're on the 10th floor, you push the elevator button to go up or down. And when you doors open up and you get inside the elevator, there's two buttons. One says soar and one says plunge. It doesn't say floor 20 or floor 1. It says soar or plunge. That's not a happy elevator. And this is what the media does. So the news, the financial news, if you watch that, turn it off. If you watch the regular news, they're going to talk tonight, no doubt, about the fact or every day this week and beyond that the market has plunged. The market is down. But here's what I will tell you. From that all-time high, 4,709 on 12/15, a month and change later today, the S&P is at about 4,300. 4,300. That's a drop of 400 points from the all-time high. But what you need to see is a 10% decline, which we would look at in the market world as a correction. A 10% decline is a correction. It would have to hit 42.39, which it may. But here's the thing. 42.39 was an all-time high.
In May.
June, June of 21. And Nestor, here's what I want to tell the listeners and the viewers. In June of 21, when it was an all-time high, people were concerned about investing then because it was an all-time high. And they said, I'm going to wait for it to come down some. And it didn't. It went up to 4709. And I can promise you at 4709, people said, I don't want to invest now because it's an all-time high. Well, guess what? If today we're back at 4239, you've only lost what you gained in the last 6 months. So take a breath.
Well, sorry. The other weird thing is if you go back to like the election when Trump lost the election for real and Biden won it for real in November, the market was down in the low threes, right? So like to see it go up to 46, the market's up almost 40%, like crazy number. And then it comes back down a little bit. Look, the market in the world that you live in, I far be it for me to say I understand it better, but the patience and the elasticity of it is that it doesn't just go up. Just like, Tom Brady, if you bought some Tom Brady stock over the weekend, right? And the football side, you don't win every year. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you don't win every year.
You know what? I watched a commercial during the games this weekend. There was this really neat commercial on about Tom Brady getting traded. Did you see that commercial? It said there's a trade in the air. And it was Tom and Giselle, right? That's his wife. And they were talking about Tom's trading and they bring in all these bar owners in Boston. It's like, yeah, there's a trade. He's coming home. And then he's looking at his phone and he goes, oh, I'm trading crypto.
Right.
Well, guess what? The Bitcoin was $60,000 a Bitcoin not very long ago. Today, it's under $33,000.
Did you see the story that was Beckham took his money in Bitcoin? Did you see that story?
Yeah.
And he's getting taxed in American money.
That's right.
And apparently he's played the whole year for 30 grand or something because all of his money was lost in Bitcoin and then the taxes took the rest of it.
Yep. So here's the thing. These people that say they want to be paid in Bitcoin, it would be just the same as saying I want to be paid in Amazon stock or I want to be paid in Facebook stock. There's no difference between Bitcoin and a stock relative to not in total, but relative to being paid in it. All it is
relative
is
to its value, literally.
It's a volatile asset. It's not dollars. It's not dollars. It's ridiculous. So people want to be paid in Bitcoin. Good for them. Their pay just went.
Are you anti-crypto, anti-Bitcoin? Where are you?
I'm not anti. I just want people that think about owning it to understand what they're buying, and nobody does. It's a bunch of garbage. Look, if you don't understand what Amazon stock is, you shouldn't own Amazon stock. If you don't understand what Bitcoin is and the blockchain is and all that, you shouldn't own any of it.
What about NFTs? I think that's the biggest scam I've ever heard.
Another whole nonsense play. You know, this goes back to, remember the movie Wall Street? Michael Douglas with the big brick phone on the beach. He was like the richest man.
And
he
had
the
good.
Remember that? Remember the big brick phone he was walking around holding? How funny is that today? But he had a painting on the wall in his home. And he brought in Charlie Sheen? Was it Charlie?
I think it was.
Yeah. Bud Fox, you know, Mr. Broker, Bud Fox. And he showed him this picture on the wall. And I won't get it right, but he said something like, I bought that for $500,000. It's now worth $50 million. The illusion is real. Because some greater fool thinks it's worth $50 million today. That's Bitcoin. Okay. So if somebody else thinks it's worth more than you think it's worth and they're willing to buy yours, God bless. But today it's worth half what it was at the top. The S&P
kind of like my condo.
There you go. The S&P is down 10%, not even 10% from the top. So I just want to tell people, don't panic about what you hear plunge, plunge, plunge. It's not plunging. It's gone down a little bit. There's a lot going on in the world. And what the markets don't like is uncertainty. And we've got Ukraine and Russia. We've got China and Taiwan. We've got interest rates. We've got the Fed. We got people talking about, oh my God, if you're going to buy a house today, your mortgage might cost you 3.5%. That is still a 50-year low in interest rates. Calm down. You know,
not everybody can get 2.5%, right?
Like, exactly. I remember refinancing a house to 8 and to 7 and to 6. I have clients who refinanced a house from 18.
1986, I bought my first house. It was 875.
Exactly.
6.5% is what I got. Maybe 575 is what I got in 2003 on my condo and felt really good about it. Len Raskin is here.
That's
he
right.
manages money and expectations and once in a while, football expectations as well.
Football. What a weekend.
All right. So let's start with this. Wink Martindale getting canned at 6 o'clock on a Friday night. Where are you on that?
Wow. Nice drop. Nice drop. 6 o'clock Friday. Hey,
well, you usually
crazy.
Do that when you're ashamed of what you're doing, not when you're proud of it, right? Like,
I don't think that's a top move. It's interesting.
Well, it feels personal. It feels like jobs. It feels like there's a lot of jobs in the market right now in the NFL. And this is a better chance to get on a bigger, better boat if you don't feel comfortable in the boat you're on. And this happens
and
all the time.
I gotta say,
these guys are, by their very nature, nomadic. They are.
Exactly. But I got to say, I mean, clearly, Harbs or Eric, you know, they got somebody in mind. They didn't just pull that trigger and say, let them go. They have a plan. I believe they have a plan.
Fair enough.
They know who they're going after. And they're hoping and thinking they can get him. So you wouldn't think they would let him go without a contingency of at least one or two people that they'd be darn happy to have and they think they can get.
Well, it might be Anthony Weaver. I mean, they have always promoted from within.
From within.
Right. So that would be pretty much where they are. The games themselves, however, we were all disappointed by wild card weekend. We got two extra games, whatever. But what we saw here this weekend is as good as the NFL can be at a time when it needs to be great. It's January, to your point. Market's crappy right now. It's cold out. Having the star power of the players, even the Brady's losing and the Rodgers losing, but the star is born for Joe Burrow, right? The star is born finally for Matthew Stafford, and the Rams can host at home. This is the delicious championship game.
How about the Niners? Everybody wants a trade. Poor Jimmy. Poor Jimmy.
Well, they say it's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and the Joes. So they got Garoppolo and they got Burrow, right?
They've been talking about trading Jimmy. All he did was like take him to the championship, and now he's hurt. So when he was hurt, they wanted to get rid of him, and now he's back, and here they are in the championship game again. And they've beaten the Rams 6 games in a row. Man, my phone was blowing up this weekend. I was texting with my friends in San Fran, my friends in KC, friends down in Tampa. It was a great text weekend. My wife, who are you texting? Who are you texting? I said, everybody. It's blowing up here.
What's wild is the 49ers and Rams hate each other as organizations,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And 2 weeks ago down in LA, the 49ers brought 30,000 fans and the Rams were like taken aback. And I'm thinking, you have no fans. You're the freaking St. Louis Rams. You know what I mean? Your owner's a scumbag.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You're sharing space with the Chargers. You're a rented operator. All your players are rented. OBJ's
well,
rented.
How about,
Von
how
Miller's
about
rented.
Titans? How about the Titans, man? Did you see what they did? Tennessee created some kind of structure that Bengals fans couldn't get tickets.
Well,
they did some kind of thing where you could only buy them through a certain app that you had to register, and people from Cincy didn't want to register as Titan fans, so they couldn't buy tickets. It was way manipulative there. So they obviously got in, but not.
Well, the 49ers fans are going to show up in LA in Moss this week because they care more than anybody from LA does about the Rams.
Absolutely.
Except for the watermelon heads. So if they beat them, then they get to come back in their house and play for a Super Bowl.
Stakes are high.
And you know that 49ers guys coming out with the boombox when they come out of the locker room?
These guys, these games were just fabulous. I mean, I was thinking about it. You know this, the two on Saturday, right? The two on Saturday were last drive games, teams driving down the field, wearing out the clock, kicking that Tucker winning field goal.
On the road,
and the kickers came through. The two on Sunday, remarkable. Neither of those. This was a heavyweight punch after punch after punch. It was like the Ravens-Vikings snow game, right? We had score after score after score in, my goodness, the best meme I've seen since the playoff weekend was somebody who posted that Mahomes drove the field, downed the ball, kicked the field goal 13 seconds, and Dak Prescott couldn't run the ball and down the ball in 14 seconds.
That's why he's not playing.
That's why he's not playing. The cream has risen to the top. This is, I was all in on the pack. I thought this was Rodgers' year. Holy cow, these games were amazing.
Raskin is here. He is a Raskin Globe. I'm wearing the shirt. He does money and tries to talk people off the ledge during a week when there's a little volatility out there. Volatility in the AFC North, Leonard. Joe Burrow, you mentioned the Jimmies and the Joes. I sort of like, you almost look like you're wearing orange. You got Ohio State red on there. I see the Ohio part of that. I saw Mike DeWine, the governor, sent out the shout out to Cincinnati, and I'm thinking, nobody's had to shout out the Cincinnati Bengals doing anything good from the state office up in Columbus in a long time.
No, long time.
If you like an underdog, if you like a lovable loser, I find Joe Burrow to be somebody that unlike Roethlisberger or Baker Mayfield, who it was easy to root against those guys, Burrow's one of those guys. Like, I don't hate him yet. You know, but they didn't hate Tom Brady in Miami and in Buffalo and with the Jets. He was just a cute young guy. And then all of a sudden, 15 years later, you can't beat him. That's the part that I'm worried that this might be cute for a little while, but I might regret rooting for Joe Burrow before this is all over.
I'll tell you what, I'm not a Bengals fan. I wasn't a Bengals fan. I'm still not a Bengals fan, but I like his, I don't think he's cocky yet, but I'll tell you what, he and Ja'Marr Chase, he brought him right from LSU. That was a great pick for them because they've played together forever and they're in each other's head. Kind of like, you know, some of these guys play together. He knows where he's throwing. He knows where he's going to be. And they're looking good. Look, we couldn't stop them twice. They torched us. And I guess what? That's why Wink is no longer the defensive coordinator, because somebody saw Joe Burrow, just as you said, and said, we got to put up with this for a long time. And if we can't knock him out or somebody can't knock him out, he's going to be top of the division for a long time. I don't really care about Baker Mayfield. To me, he should be doing his Progressive commercials and stop, you know, nonsense. And I'm not worried about Pittsburgh now. They got to rebuild and they don't have a quarterback.
All right, what do you got here this weekend? We got Cincinnati, Kansas City. We got LA and San Francisco. You know, beginning next year, now that we're like gambling and Maryland Lottery's much fun, I'm going to make picks every year. Like every week. Next year, I'm making picks. Luke and I are going to do some pigskin pick 'em. We're going to go over under. We're going to have fun with this. The fact that everybody's gambling on it. I was down at the casino on Saturday, Leonard. I went down Saturday before the game started just to vibe out how it felt. And
yeah,
you know, I spent plenty of time in Vegas. It's here and it's real. So talking about these games as not an inducement to wager, but perhaps Cincinnati, Kansas City, and San Francisco, LA.
I think this is
a good weekend of football we got coming up Sunday.
It should be a good weekend of football. And I think the early line is KC. What is it? KC -7 for the bettors out there. I'm not a gambler, and I certainly don't espouse betting and gambling. As a matter of fact, from an investment standpoint, individual stock picking is speculating and gambling with your money. And so
you always tell me not to do that is what you tell me.
Right. We don't do that. But to that end, for football's sake, KC -7.
Rams are 3.5, by the way, at least at this point, early in the week.
Okay. So I might take Cincy in the 7, but I think Kansas City is going to win.
All right.
I think the Chiefs at home, it's going to look easier than it did against Buffalo.
You know, one day they're going to say, you bet against Joe Burrow.
Right. That's exactly right. Like, well, look, hey, I read also was one of my Chicago friends sent me a text and said, I think it was Chicago. Yeah. And said the Bears, not the only ones, but the Bears passed on Mahomes. A lot of teams passed on Mahomes.
49ers passed on Aaron Rodgers, too, from what I remember.
Right, right.
I hear that all the time.
Remember seeing him sitting in the draft room at the end of the first day?
Well, how about Lamar? Lamar was similar. Lamar sat there.
Last pick, first round.
Mm-hmm.
Last pick of the first round. So I'm going with Chiefs, but I'll take Cincy +7. I'll take the points there.
Well, here's a fun one for you, by the way. You talk about getting passed over. We make fun of Aaron Rodgers or Lamar sitting there. Burrow, 1 overall. Stafford, 1 overall. It took Stafford 15 years.
20 years. Right. That's right. And I think it's the Rams, what, -?
3.5. 3.5.
3.5. That's a tough one. I think San Fran's got their hook. They got their number there. I think San Fran wins outright.
All right.
Here's the thing. I think the Rams will not be the second team to win in their home stadium for the Super Bowl.
There's a little part of me want the Rams to win because if I'm going to go out there for the week, and I'm still fence-sitting on the Super Bowl, right? I mean,
be a little more exciting.
Do you think it will be a full experience for me to go to LA next week and wear my Raskin Global shirt? Like I'm trying to figure out with the mask and the set and who's going to be there. The issue isn't me or how it makes me
feel. You know what?
I'm irrelevant.
You know what? I think you're going to see hypocrisy at its finest in the week, because in California, everybody has to wear the face diaper, right? That's the thing. Everybody's got to have the face diaper in California, except they're going to make an allowance for the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl, and they don't want it to leave because they've talked about it moving to Jerry World in like a day.
They're not going to do that.
They're going to let it all down. They're going to let all the restrictions go around the Super Bowl. Not the elementary school, but the Super Bowl.
Well,
just at the stadium.
I'm not going without a mask and shaking hands with all these people from all over the country in the middle of a plague where 75 people a day or my state are dying from it. Leonard Raskin is here. He's Raskin Global. He invests money, but more than that, educates you while you invest money so that you can deal with the dips, deal with the emotions of the market, right? Because you put your money in the market,
right.
you can't have your emotions tied to it all day. Otherwise, you'll just be sitting there staring at a TV screen watching stocks go up and down.
Exactly. And for investors, for long-term investors, what you need to understand absolutely positively, your behavior is your enemy. Your emotions are your enemy. And so you have to sit with somebody that will hold your hand and let you know going through this that you're doing the right thing and that your long-term presentation of your assets, your long-term allocation, your long-term goals, everything will still be reached given the market goes up, the market goes down. And when it goes down, you know, it's crazy, but when what you wanted most of all, let's just make this real easy. What you wanted most of all from Walmart, that big screen TV, Best Buy, that big screen TV that was $4,000 that is now $2,000. You walk in and it's time to buy. But when your stock goes from 4,000 to 2,000, you believe it's time to sell. And that is wrong. Sales are made for buyers. And wealth is made on the backs of those that sell at the wrong time. The average investor over the long term, 20, 30 years, earns about 3% a year in the market, while the market averages 9. And that's not because of cost. It's because they get in at the wrong time, they get out at the wrong time, they panic at the wrong time, they do the wrong thing because their emotions oversway their intellect.
It's like when you get to the blackjack table and you're up a couple $100 and you don't walk out. You just stay there and give it all back.
So you're down a couple $100. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So it's worse than just giving it all back. It's giving it all back plus a couple hundred more. So you got to take your wins. You got to recognize that when it's down, it's a buying opportunity. If you're about to go to retirement, if you're near retirement, you've got to be extra prudent about your allocation because the couple years before and the couple years right after retirement, we call that the red zone. That's where you can get hurt the most from a downturn in the market if you're not aware and prudently distributing your money. You're dying coming down Everest and you can't afford that. So we are there to help people on the way up, on the way across, on the way down, and make sure that you make prudent moves. And as you said, Nestor, so well, to educate and to hold you through the emotions, because otherwise you make bad mistakes and that's where big money gets lost and you don't want to have that happen.
Well, we're going to find out about your big money this week on Garoppolo. You know, you went all in on Garoppolo here this week. So 49ers better be representing next week.
I'll bet a buck. Believe me, I work way too hard to lose it. I'll bet a buck that they cover, not only that they cover, but that they win outright. And I think Cincy plus the points, but KC wins.
All right, we're going to have some fun around here this week. Leonard Raskin can be found at RaskinGlobal.com and getting things going back again in March to do some education, get some folks out there so that people know what they're doing. Always good to visit with you. We'll see you next week, all right?
Pleasure.
If it's Rams, Chiefs, or again, or if it's Cincinnati, San Francisco, again, we'll be having a good time around here. All of our sponsorships, all of our Wise, I have my Wise purified drinking water here. Our friends at Liberty Pure did all my plumbing here. I'm going to get some water from them as well. The Wise conversations continue here all week. We're going to get back to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to do that at Nacho Mama's. We're at a delicious burrilla quesadilla the other night, some chips and salsa in the fridge right now. So we'll be getting back out after the Super Bowl that hopefully I'm going to in LA next week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.